Genesis 46. Genesis chapter 46. All of you are very familiar, at least I think you are, or should be, the story of Joseph in Egypt. And God bringing all Israel down there. And there's a verse number 28 has been a verse that I've looked at for a long time. And I still am not too satisfied with where I am, but I'll give you three things about, I think three, Jacob, all his household, and all their herds, and flocks, everything they got, except what they didn't bring because they were told to leave it at home. They all start out in verse number 28. And he, speaking about Jacob, sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. Direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. Would you pray with me? Our Father, you've given us another day, another opportunity to examine ourselves, that we've heard, and hopefully that which you will give us now. The world celebrates our good part of it. Many have gotten to the point that they have no regard for the Lord Jesus. But then again, in many, many churches, folks will gather that don't attend on a regular basis. They'll gather today because we've marked it as Easter Sunday, the resurrection. Be it that or not, it was on the first day of the week, this day, that he arose. That makes this day the Lord's day with special emphasis upon it. Not only did Christ rise, but Almighty God rested on the seventh day. And now we come to ask ourselves do I know anything inwardly about the resurrection? Have I been raised from death unto newness of life? Am I beginning to see old things fading away? And behold, all things becoming new. My Lord, if I have a day without Thee, it's a day lost. So I pray that You might, in great mercy and grace, deal with our hearts. That You might give us an understanding in Thy Word, and that the Spirit of God would enable us to make practical application so that we are not just hearers of Thy Word. Glorify our Savior. Draw us nigh unto Him. And continue to clear up our sight in beholding Him. We are not where we ought to be as a church. I trust we are on the way in becoming that. But we'll never be a perfect body because none of us are perfect. But we are striving for holiness, sanctification. We're striving for a reverential sight of Thee and our rightful place before You, Almighty God. Now provide for us bread, manna from heaven. Do what is necessary, my Father, to make us what we ought to be before one another, before our community, and before the world in which we move about. That You do, we'll give Thee the thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jacob's found out that a dead son, I say dead son because that's what he was to Jacob, he's found out he's alive, and he's found out where he is. And when Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, two different ones, yet one meaning. And they call for Joseph. He shaves himself. He puts on a change of garments, new garments, clean garments. And he comes up out of that old jail cell. And Pharaoh tells him his dream, and Joseph said, okay, this is what it means. You had two, but there's only one meaning. You're going to have 7 years of plenty. The land will produce such that you've never seen before. And then you're going to have 7 years of famine. And this is what Pharaoh ought to do. Gather up in the good years, store up, so that when the 7 years of famine hit, that there be bread for everyone. And Pharaoh looked at all his lords and his counselors, and he said, is there one so wise as this? King's heart being in the hand of the Lord. None of them opposed. A little old Hebrew boy being promoted over them. And they all said, we agree with you, Pharaoh. So he was promoted Lord over all the land. And when folk needed something, when the famine set in and the food that they had was out, then they went to Pharaoh crying, we're hungry. Pharaoh said, you go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, then you do that. And now Joseph is down there and he's been feeding the people in Egypt, and people from other countries have been coming in there to get bread. And now that long-awaited word and that promise that God gave him back there that landed him in Egypt in prison, in bondage, was that he told his dream to his brothers, his mother and father. He said, I saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to me. And he sees that now. And he's waiting. He's waiting for one particular group of people. And only one. He's issuing out bread, whatever's necessary for the sustaining of life, to all that come. But in all that come, he's the one that is giving. And there's one family he's watching for. And finally they get down there. And Joseph makes himself strange. The wisdom of that young man is, it's beyond anything we've ever seen or heard. And when his brothers, when he made himself known to his brothers, and all of them were afraid, he said, come near me. And he kissed Benjamin, and then all his brothers, which means peace between all of us. And they're standing there in condemnation, self-condemnation. And Joseph said, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity on the earth. And then when he tells them this, he said, now you go home. You make haste, you go home. And you say to my father, come down unto me, and here you'll be near me, and I'll nourish you there. Do you see in this? Do you see something of our Lord when he was interceding there in John 17? Interceding for his family, his brethren. Father, I will that those that thou hast given me be with me where I am. He's not talking about you being with him in eternity. He's talking about all his children being with him in time. You think that our Father would let one word that failed from his son's lips be in vain? Impossible. So as the world has continued up until that time and from that time to now, all that the Father gave him are being brought to him, and he's keeping them near to himself. Sometimes we will stray. Usually it's not too far, because God's very quick to discipline us. But our Lord said, Father, I don't pray for the world. I'm not praying for those outside, the ones that you've given me. And those are the ones that I ask you, Father, that they might be near me where I am. And there I will nourish them. And Joseph sent wagons, but it was at the command of Pharaoh, when it was told Pharaoh that Joseph's brethren are there. And Pharaoh sent wagons back to bring 66 people. Jacob, his family, sons, daughter-in-laws, grandchildren. You bring the old man down here. No other people, no other nation did Pharaoh send wagons and goods to keep them on the way and sustain them as they journeyed. None. Anybody else that got down there, they had to walk or come in their cart or their wagons. But not Jacob. No, he's had provision to get down here. Jacob received from Pharaoh the order to send wagons back to get Joseph's family. But it was because of the relationship that they had with Joseph. Because they were nigh kin to him, Pharaoh was going to look after them and provide for them. And so if you're very close kin to the greater Joseph, if you are brethren to him, if you are a member of his body, then he's going to sustain, provide, get you near him. Down there in that foreign land, just because you're near him, he's going to take care of you. Now to the verse that I read, Genesis 46:28. And Judah sent before him, or Jacob sent Judah to direct his face. And that brings up the question, why? Jacob's sons did not need an angel like Abraham's servant needed to direct him for a wife for Isaac. They didn't need anybody. They knew the way down there to where they would get provisions to sustain their life. They didn't ask anybody, how do you get there? They just went down there and got back in a short distance, in a short amount of time. It wasn't a long journey. Probably the roads had been marked by travelers. Joseph's offspring didn't need a pillow of a cloud by day or a pillow of fire by night to direct them down into Egypt, But God's children needed both to direct them from Egypt back into Canaan land. Now, if Jacob's sons knew the way to Egypt, having already gone down there and traded and come back, and he knew they knew the way, why did he send Judah to direct his face? And before I begin to set before you three things, I remind you that Christ Jesus is the tribe. He's the lion out of the tribe of Judah. So you got to think of him here. And I ask you again, why? Was it to give notice to Joseph? Out of courtesy? He's on his way. You go tell Joseph, I, your brothers, your sister-in-laws, your nieces and nephews, we're all on the way down there to see you. Did he go to find out where Goshen was? Or if they knew to what place in Goshen did Joseph want them to go? Now, it's a great difference between 10 boys going down there and 66 people, including children, with all the flocks that they had, and he had many, and all the herds. If one of those boys, or if the boys had made a misstep and gone in the wrong direction for just a little, it would have been no problem for them to turn around and get back on the marked road. But you can't turn around a herd and flock that easily. It's different now. The old cattle drives in our early land, before they had railroads and they had to drive them hundreds upon hundreds of miles, that always get a scout, go ahead and mark the trail. Was that the purpose? To get Jacob to Goshen. Make sure there was a straight route. Was that the purpose? I don't know. Second of all, was Jacob paying respect to a government he and his family were fixing to place themselves under? Was he just going to Joseph, sending Judah to Joseph, so that Joseph could make known to Pharaoh that my family's coming and they're putting themselves in complete submission to the Egyptian government? For Jacob did not have a right to enter as a guest down there and then begin demanding of Pharaoh, we want this, this, and this. When our forefathers came over from many, many different countries, they entered this land legally and they willingly put themselves under bondage to the laws in America. Whatever the rule of law here was, our forefathers had no objection, for this was the land of promise. And this was a land where their dream could come true. And when they got over here, if they were from the land of where the Dutch language was prevalent, or the Italian language, or the French language, whatever they were under, since used to be English was the official language in our country, they learned English and never demanded of this government, we're going to keep speaking our language. Oh, if you buy and you trade and you send your children to our schools, then you will adopt our language and our rules. Was it out of respect that he sent to Joseph for Joseph to have that access unto Pharaoh? Was it out of respect for Pharaoh and them allowing Joseph and his family to come down there and live? Was it, children? We as Christians are traveling through a wilderness. We are learning the language of Canaan. This old filthy language that we grew up around. We're getting rid of that, and we're beginning to talk like the sons and daughters of a holy God. We're beginning to act like what God demands when we get to that place that God has bound off for us to be in this old world. We bow to God's government. We bow to the language of that new Jerusalem. We're learning it. We're learning it as a little child begins learning his ABCs, and then we're learning that language, forgetting our old manner of talk. Now folk can see that man's different than what he used to be. That woman's not the same as she used to be. And we're giving God respect because God in great mercy sent his son down here. To direct our face unto that parcel of ground that God has laid out for us. If you would turn with me, it's five books over, I think, to Judges. Judges chapter number 12, beginning with verse number 4. They had to go get Jephthah. He was a cast out, but he was a warrior. And they needed that man's strength and his ability to fight to come deliver them. And he's in the process of doing that. Verse 4, then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so that when one of those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, nay, they're killing all the Ephraimites. If he said, no, I'm not, I don't belong to them. Then said they unto him, say now Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan, And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. Because they didn't know the language. Now listen to what our Lord said in Matthew 12. By thy words thou shalt be condemned or justified. Whatever your speech is, it's giving you away as to whether or not you won't passage over the brook, over into the land where Jephthah is. You honestly believe that one single one will enter glory not knowing the heavenly language? You think when God bursts one into his family that he does not at that point begin schooling them? And then we, as David, Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart get down here, Lord, so what I say and the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. That same man said the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. And it was called to Nehemiah's attention. He came over and he began to look at the situation, and he saw that the Jews had married wives of Ashdod. You can find that in Nehemiah 13 if you want to go back and read it sometime. They had married strange people with a strange language. Nehemiah sat there listening to those little ones, and he said, they couldn't speak in the Jews' language. They couldn't speak in the language of Ashdod. They were just mumbling around. They didn't know a language. Because the men of Israel had married outside the lineage of Israel, and their children had this language spoken by the mother and this one by their father, and they didn't know how to talk. Nehemiah got so mad, he plucked out the beards of the men, cursed them, said, now you don't ever take a wife unless it's one out of the tribes of Israel here. A lot of people in our day call themselves Christians, but their language is more akin to the worldly crowd. Say Shibboleth. And they said Shibboleth. By their words, they were condemned. By their words, they were put to death. Dear ones, please do not think that you will travel through this old land and begin to get near the gate of heaven and God say this language and you can't. You're going to learn it. You got to live amongst the world, but you better be learning heaven's language. Now thirdly, I ask, was Jacob paying respect and honor now due his son because his son's Lord over Egypt? Pharaoh turned it all over to him. When Joseph told his dream, sun and the moon and 11 stars, bowed down, his father rebuked him. Shall I and your mother bow down to you? One thing the Lord required, all you young folk better, whether you hear anything else or not, you better remember this. It's the one promise that God gave, wherein life would, days would be added to your life. God requires all children, to obey and respect their parents. Did Jacob rebuke his son, fearful that he might offend the Lord? And he just didn't want him doing that. Whatever his reason was when he rebuked him, he kept that saying and he pondered over it for a long time. Whatever the reason, his father, having observed the saying, now Jacob sees, my son was right. His dream was correct. Now, Jacob, does he send Judah ahead out of respect and honor for his son that's on the throne? Well, he told us the truth. His brothers envied him, jealous of him. Jacob rebuked him, but Jacob continued to observe the saying. And now he finds out, my son's in that position. Now I ask you here, do you see the Father, the eternal God Almighty, honoring his son here, and Jacob honoring his son? God said, that's my beloved son. You better hear him. See, that's why I say your language will change. Because you hear him. The Spirit of God interprets that he would have you know about him. And your language changes over the years. Was Jacob honoring his son, now paying respect to him? You go down there and tell him, we're on the way. Two times the father said, that's my beloved son, hear ye him. But the son of the father, after cruel treatment, this is Joseph, now, after cruel treatment of his brethren, he's only a bond slave in Egypt because of the wicked deeds of his brethren. Well, our Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. If you want to hear the honesty of a father on his dying bed, giving charge to his children. I mean, he was plain down to the very root, heart of all. Then when he got to Joseph, he said, the archers have sorely grieved him. They shot at him. They hated him. Well, look at Calvary. Who crucified the Son of God? You say, well, the Romans did. The Romans would not have had it not been for the Jews. We put him to death. Had not they pleaded with Pilate, said, if you let him go, then you're at odds with our king. Well, Herod, Pilate said, I can't find anything wrong with him. I've judged him. He's not guilty. And they screamed out even more after Pilate said, tell me what evil he's done. What? That's that meek, lowly Lamb of God. He's raised in power and in authority over everybody. You can't take another breath without him. He's on the throne. God has turned over all the government of all the world. He's feeding everybody, but he's got a special interest in his children. He keeps watching us and waiting on us. As we head out towards that land where he dwells. But we're like Thomas, we know not the way. Oh, Thomas. Or was it Philip there? One of the two. Forgive me for lack of remembrance, which one? We don't know the way. We say, we don't know the way. And we don't know the behavior. And we don't know the language of the citizens of that country. But this, I know we've got one going before our face. He's teaching us. As we journey in unison, all one here, all on the same way, we are becoming a body of believers where there's no schisms and no divisions and one thinking this and another one that. God's cleaning it all up. Father, I pray that they might be one as you and I are one. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, because we've got one out in front directing our face to that land where Christ reigns and feeds us. Now, folk, we either have the God of this world, our old natural man, are the Lord of that eternal habitat of his children directing our paths. And our face is directed by the God of this world, by our old natural flesh, or by one sent to direct us to the Lamb of God. One last in Isaiah 63. How do I know the way? How do I know the language? Well, if you will allow me a moment before I read that verse. Anybody that's getting on towards adulthood that cannot see that our land is under the judgment of God, you are so nearsighted that all objects out in front of you are blurry. We're living in a land where boys are becoming girls, girls becoming boys. They're being taught in many elementary schools If you're not satisfied, they're getting two young minds, impressionable, precious young minds. If you're not satisfied in the body you have, it's because God made a mistake. The military, purging of any of the members that will complain about any of this. Lowered their standards so that women now can pass what used to be rigid demands of soldiers before they sent them off to war. Lowered all that. They're exploring whiteism or whiteness. Boys saying they're girls competing in girls' sports. We are dropping the award for outstanding students. The valedictorian at the number one in the class at graduation. We're dropping all that. We don't want anybody above anybody else. Our educational system has plummeted to rock bottom. The judgments, look around you, the judgments upon our country. Those over here on the right in this governmental group or this political persuasion are hated by those over here on the left and vice versa. Got to find out what white supremacist is. I want to make one thing very clear to all of you. There are no divisions in the family of God. God doesn't judge based on the color of your skin. You're not better because you're this color than others that did not are not like that. God has and continues to take out of every nation, tribe, kindred, His church. Free speech is being taken from us. And the government wants us all dependent, so they keep handing out that they don't have. Bringing us all into subjection so that they can control every one of us. They now can tell you what you can think and what you can't. If you think the wrong things, at least out loud, you're in trouble. Now we're in this mess. Headed to where Joseph is, where we can find bread. How are we going to get there? There's one out in front. Isaiah 63 and verse number 9. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. You parents have never had a little one sick and where you were not afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Who's he talking about? His Holy Spirit, verse 10. But they rebelled. They vexed him. And then he that was out in front directing turned to be their enemy. And he fought against them. The sons of Judah, the son of Judah, from the very tribe, by his spirit, is directing our face to that parcel of ground down there where we can eat and dwell safely there. Down there we'd be where the plagues of judgment from God do not enter. We're free from the flies, swarm of flies, lice on beast and man, frogs everywhere, even in the kneading troughs, locusts destroying all green outside. And then hail coming along because the wheat and the barley were not in that stage of growth yet. Then God sent hail, turned their water into blood. And we're free. And with the blood of that lamb that was shed when they put it to death, sprinkled upon the doorpost, all our firstborn are safe. How do I get there? The angel of His presence is directing our face. That's why every last child of God here needs to be very careful that you don't grieve the Holy Spirit or quench Him. For Paul said in Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. Your conduct, your speech, your being bound together in the body of our great Lord, we have Him in front of our face. Do you see among professing Christians just how few they are? Wherever they want to go, whatever they want to do, however they want to talk. Oh, God's cleaning up everything about us. Mouth, ears, feet, hands, heart, everything about us. You're not free to choose your own path. One people, one small door, and a very, very narrow way we're on. By the way, I should have covered this a while ago, all of you young, you are in the body God meant for you to have. Male and female made He them. You are what God wants you to be. Don't let anybody tell you differently. We're told today about a God that's foreign to Scripture. Folk, it's easier today. And most people's thinking it's easier to get to God than it is taking a drink of water. Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. And Moses to Aaron, this is that the Lord spoke. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. You're going to know who you're going to. You're learning His character. Holiness, His very being. His demands as ruler of this land. We're gladly marching in step with the captain of our salvation, one directing our face towards God. All of you be ready. The third day, I'm going to come down in sight of all the people on Mount Sinai. Throughout the Scripture, if somebody started approaching God carelessly, God stopped them. You take a step back, you might get in a situation where it is demanded of you to get to God then. Nehemiah King said, why you sad? That's one thing you couldn't do, being the king's cupbearer. You couldn't ever have a frown or sad look on your face. Well, Nehemiah didn't have time to see that he was right with God. Had a right attitude. He approached God out of the dire situation he was in. Might mean my life if I don't come up with the right answer. God heard him. And God directed the heart of the king over him. You're going to know about the one on the throne. He can be the easiest being in all the world to talk to. But all the time, there's this reverence in your soul. Even if the two of you are walking all alone, and he's sharing his heart with you, even in that familiarity, and you'll have it, folks, even in that familiarity, there's the greatest reverence in your soul for the King of Kings. Folk, we're under judgment, but we're in that place at the plagues of God. Are blunted. They're not sharp. I better close there before I get off chasing rabbits again.